This is episode 5 of the Eco Warriors podcast featuring Paula Michelle Andrade from Recyclop.
You're listening to the Eco Warriors podcast featuring inspiring stories from women in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host, Barbara Lee.
Hey, Eco Warriors, welcome back to the podcast. In case you missed it, the UN held their annual climate conference known as the COP26 in Glasgow this week. The purpose of the summit is to come up with a global pact that can help keep global temperatures from rising beyond the critical 1.5 degrees Celsius threshold. Some of the wins are that at least 28 new countries have made commitments to phase out coal and transition to clean energy, and 25 other countries have committed to ending overseas fossil fuel projects by 2022. These wins may seem small, but they're big and impactful for our planet. Even if the US didn't participate in the way that I would want them to, I'm still glad to hear of the countries who did. All it takes is a lot of small actions from a group of passionate people to make a difference. Today is November 15th, and it's America Recycles Day. So we're really excited to bring you this episode where we speak with Paula Andrade, head of marketing at Recyclops. In addition to less than 10% of recyclable materials being recycled in the US, I was actually shocked to learn from Paula that 42% of Americans don't have convenient access to recycling. I actually saw this firsthand when I was traveling around the US, and it was really eye-opening that there are places in the world where people don't recycle, and there are people who think that recycling is not real. Hold up. It's not like recycling is the tooth fairy. How can people think that recycling is not real? This is what I really couldn't wrap my head around. And there's also just so much confusion and misinformation around recycling. So let's get some stuff out in the open. One, if you purchase anything in a plastic container and it has a recycle symbol with a number on it, it's likely recyclable within your local programs. What you have to do is check out which type of plastic is recyclable within your municipality. Two, glass is infinitely recyclable. Yeah, you heard me right. It means that it can be recycled over and over again without losing any of its quality. And that's what makes it such a great sustainable material. But it needs to go into the recycling bin. Three, aluminum is really in short supply, so make sure you recycle those cans. And if you're lucky enough to live in a city or a state where there are recycling programs, you can actually make money from turning in your recycling. Four, clean out your containers and make sure that your cardboard boxes or anything else that may have had food in it are clean. Any type of plastic or paper that is soiled or has oil on it is not acceptable. Also, depending on your municipality, it is important to clean and separate out your recyclables. Unless you live in San Francisco, which is pretty much the Atlantic of waste management systems, ensuring that you don't put something in your recycling bin that can't be recycled is actually vitally important. We call this wish cycling, meaning you wish that that piece of plastic film can be recycled, but it can't. What ends up happening is that it actually ends up contaminating the rest of the items that are in your recycling bin, which means that all of it might get thrown out. So be wise, look at what is accepted in your area, and help educate others. Okay, now that we got the public service announcement out there, I'm going to leave Paula to tell you a bit more about the state of recycling in America today and how they're trying to solve it. Let's get trash talking. Hey, Paula, welcome to Trash Talking.
Hi, how are you?
Can you tell our audience a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do?
I'm Paula Michelle Andrade, and I currently work at Recyclops. I am heading up the marketing team. I've currently been at Recyclops for approximately a year and a half.
Talk to us about what Recyclops is.
Recyclops is a technology and logistics company that focuses on solving different sustainability challenges. Right now, we're currently working on giving access to people around America who don't currently have access to recycling. But this is just the beginning. We really like to combine the idea of access and sustainability. So this is our first initiative, trying to reach people who can't recycle currently because they don't have access to recycling in their municipalities for one reason or the other. But going forward, there's a bigger picture for Recyclops. And the biggest question here is, you know, if we can manage to reach these people, we could also manage to deliver other things to them, other services that can help promote sustainability in a very accessible way.
So you're talking about collecting recycling in areas where recycling doesn't exist today. How prevalent of an issue is this?
It's actually a pretty shocking statistic. We have done a lot of research on this, and essentially 42% of Americans do not have access to convenient cycling. And so that's an important part of it. What I mean by convenient is there's a lot of people who do have access to recycling, but in order to recycle, they have to drive an hour away or maybe 2 hours away to reach some type of a recycling drop-off point. And so at RecycleOps, we really believe that sustainability needs to be something that's convenient in order for us to actually make it happen.
I want to dig into this a little bit because it's actually really shocking how high that number is. Is this only in like rural areas or are there certain parts of the US where they don't recycle?
Most of them, yes, are more rural areas. And it's interesting because looking into the definition of rural, when you think of rural, you think of somewhere that's pretty far away from a city or a more centralized town. But the reality is that the way that we kind of defined rural in this study that we've been doing is it's actually just a place that doesn't necessarily have recycling. So some of these are actually cities that have 200,000 people in them, and they still don't have access to recycling. So really, rural communities can be considered somewhat of urban communities, not necessarily just rural. We think that, especially when we started going into this business, we thought it would be more rural communities that are far away from anything else. And as we've learned more, we've realized that actually there are a lot of cities that are dropping their recycling programs.
Oh, wow. Is there a particular reason why cities are dropping the recycling program?
Yeah. So the biggest reason why cities have started to drop their recycling programs is because it's pretty expensive to run a recycling program. So there have been recent changes with the way that the recycling industry works. So it's a commodity-based industry where essentially you go and you recover all of the materials and then sell them to someone who's looking for the materials. In our case, China was buying a lot of the materials. And when I say our case, I mean in the United States. And that stopped happening. And so there's no longer demand for these materials, at least not enough demand for these materials at home. That made it very inconvenient for the recycling industry because their whole business model essentially changed and they were no longer able to keep up with that model.
That's really unfortunate. So what is RecycleOps working on?
Essentially a peer-to-peer system where we have people in local communities picking up recycling in smaller vehicles and bringing it over to us. And then we get it to wherever it needs to go in the country to get it recycled.
That's pretty cool. So it's using a system of individuals that's already in place. And so you don't need to build out any new infrastructure or add operating costs for your business. Basically, the unit of economics needs to make sense for the city and also for your business.
Yes, it's no longer profitable and it's no longer something that they can even do to break even. So they're losing money. And with municipalities, a lot of the times they have to choose between recycling or some other type of program.
You know, I was actually really shocked when I was traveling recently. I was up in the mountains. I'm going to leave the town unnamed, but I was in the middle of nature and I went to go take out my trash at the end of the stay and I couldn't figure out where to drop my recycling. So I asked some local person that I found, you know, where to put my recycling, and his response shocked me. He responded, "This is in California. We don't do recycling." I feel like it's always been an awareness issue, but it sounds like it's more of a commoditization issue. Can you talk to us more about RecycleOps' business model?
Part of the reason why we've been able to continue to operate and really expand to new areas is that we completely changed our business model and we turned it into a subscription-based model so that customers are actually paying to get their recycling picked up and recycled, because the amount of money that you receive in order to when you go and drop off your recycling, like as a company, it really isn't enough to sustain a company to even break even. So with our model, we're able to, first of all, not only go to different areas and pick up recycling, and we're able to start up operations pretty easily because anybody can pick up recycling and then bring it over to us. So it's a gig economy based model, but also we're able to transport it to wherever it needs to go. And we don't rely on the commodity itself to pay our bills.
Got it. That's really interesting.
Especially what's happening there. The other thing I was going to mention is that it's really interesting that one of the reasons why a lot of municipalities have canceled their services is due to contamination. And so contamination with recycling is really important. Not everything gets recycled. Contamination is a really big issue. And it's one of the reasons why even municipalities that have been trying to keep up with recycling have decided to change over to a drop-off service.
So what does the process look like for your service?
Customers are able to put all of their recycling materials. They don't need to sort them out. They're able to put them in these plastic bags that we provide to them. We pick them up once a week or twice a week, depending on how often they've subscribed to the service. From there, our gig economy partners, drivers, they go and they pick up the recycling from people's homes. And so that's where kind of the technology comes in. They use an app to do certain routes and pick it up from people's homes, just either at the doorstep or at the curbside. And from there, they bring it over to one of our locations in each one of the locations we service. And from there, we sort out all of the recycling. That's kind of one of the ways that we're able to reduce contamination, because if we open up one of the loads, one of the plastic bags, we don't have to throw out all. We just have to throw away that specific one that has been contaminated. And then what we do from there is we haul these materials to different places, depending on what the nearest facility is.
So what happens to the recycling material that your company picks up?
It really depends on the location. So one of the big things to factor into our model is we also want to make sure that our carbon emissions are low, since our main focus is to be sustainable in pretty much everything we do. We go to material recovery facilities, and there are different material recovery facilities throughout the country, and each one operates in a different way. Some of the things that we do either get turned into cement. Sometimes things actually get broken down, like especially like glass, and turned into more glass. It really depends on the facilities. The other interesting thing that we're doing here with our recycling is we've actually started to work with corporations in order to make sure that we're reusing things. And so one of the things that we have going on right now is with Imperfect Foods. And Imperfect Foods, as you know, is a company dedicated to making sure that there is less waste around produce. One of the things that they found within their service is that even though they were reducing waste in one way, they were creating more waste, in the sense that the packages they sent had these silver liners and these gel packs. And so both of these things are items that can't easily be recycled in any municipality. And so a lot of the times they just get thrown in the landfill. And so this is a perfect example of where RecycleOps has created partnerships in order to be able to collect these materials and then send them back to the producer so that they can then be reused.
Yeah, and that's something I wanted to chat to you about. So the percentage of recycled materials in the US is really low. So obviously recycling alone is not going to get us to being a fully sustainable planet. And we all saw what happened with the shortages in our supply chain for aluminum during the pandemic and now glass. So what needs to happen between now and in the future for us to be a fully sustainable planet?
To me, the biggest thing that needs to happen is we need to continue to create more awareness of exactly what you just said, that it's not just about recycling and it's not just about reuse programs. It's also about the way that different materials are created, the materials that we are using, and also when we do use materials that can't be infinitively reused or that aren't compostable or biodegradable, that we also find alternatives for them. But also what companies can do, I think, is to create more awareness of what's actually being done and what the steps that they're taking are in order to attain some type of sustainability. We need to make sure that they're changing their ways, not only in terms of recycling, but everything else.
Completely agree. And Paula, why is sustainability important to you?
I've worked in technology for a while. My last company, I worked at Uber for 4 years. It was a really, really intense experience. I was helping to expand to Latin America. So I was the first employee for Chile. But once I reached my 4 years there, I decided to go on a sabbatical, kind of figure out what the next step was for me. And in that process, I went to Honduras, to an island called Roatan, and I decided to continue my passion for scuba diving. While I was underwater, I just started to look at the coral reef. It made me think, if money was no object, what would I really do for a living? And I realized what I want to do is I want to make a difference in terms of sustainability. I want to make sure that our planet continues to exist, that Mother Nature continues to exist for future generations, not only for our future generations, but for nature itself. And so really, it's my love of the ocean, that experience that I had, that made me realize that I wanted to make a difference.
Amazing. Thanks for sharing that story. I've also done a lot of diving and I spend a lot of time in the ocean. I could totally see how that would have had an impact on you. Paula, last question. What's the biggest myth that you've heard about recycling?
So I think the biggest myth I've heard about recycling is that nothing gets recycled. So I think it was last year, if not the previous year, NPR came out with an article, which I understand that there was a good intention behind it to expose some of the faults of recycling, of the recycling industry. But the fact that essentially this article said that it was like a marketing strategy from the 80s to say that recycling actually happens. The reality is that while we are not at the point that we need to be with recycling, we're getting better. There are a lot of different players in this industry, not just Recyclops, that are working in order to make the recycling industry better and in order to innovate in this space. And so to me, the biggest myth is that recycling doesn't happen, because the reality is that it does happen. It just doesn't happen to the rates that we need it to. And it doesn't happen to the rates that we need it to because there hasn't been enough focus around the industry, which is just now starting to happen. So yeah, I think that's definitely the biggest myth that I've heard.
I've also heard people criticize that recycling is something that only rich people do. What have you heard, and do you have any success stories that you can share?
There's this misconception that only wealthy people have access to recycling. And we have this situation with cities or one of these towns, it's called Patagonia. People from this area started to reach out to us and tell us that they were interested in recycling. And it was a town that had 900 people, so population of 900. Initially, we weren't totally sure if we were going to be able to gain the traction we needed to launch there. But it's been a really huge surprise. And as we've been able to talk to different people in that location, we've been able to reach a price point that makes sense for them. And it's been surprising because a town of 900 people has ended up with approximately 100 people recycling in it. 100 people might not sound like a lot of people, but from a market penetration, just even before getting started, because we haven't even launched there, people are already showing interest. And so I think that when we do make recycling or sustainability in general convenient and accessible, a lot of people are open to be able to be a part of this movement.
I totally agree. So Paula, where can people find Recyclops if they want to utilize your services where they live?
Yeah, so you can find us at recyclops.com. Our Instagram is recyclops.co, and that's our Instagram handle. You can also find us on Facebook and even on Nextdoor.
Paula, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me. And I really, as I mentioned to you before, I really, really admire what you're doing and spreading the knowledge about sustainability.
To me, recycling is one of those basic aspects of my life that I started doing even before I was in tune with the whole green movement. I've always lived in cities where recycling was collected curbside, and the service was always provided by my local municipality. Then there's the reality of what happens, and the fact that 42% of Americans don't have a convenient way to recycle really sucks. We've all seen those articles that showcase recyclable materials being dumped into the ocean because there isn't a great secondary market for recyclable materials as of yet. Or like recycling that's collected and burned to create energy for the grid, which is really not a great solution for our waste and carbon emission concerns. We hope that you really enjoyed this episode and that it helped open up your eyes to potential solutions that can help us fix this problem. If you enjoy the content that we make here on Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, consider supporting the show. By clicking on the link in the notes for Anchor, you can support the show directly for as little as $2.99 a month, which is less than the price of a cup of coffee. Tune in again next week for another inspiring story with more eco warriors from around the world. Thanks for listening. Stay green.
The Eco Warriors podcast is produced by Hansel Rodriguez, research assistance by Belinda Chu, and hosted by Barbara Lee. Thanks for listening. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram at Eco Warriors Podcast.